Wonderful. Great. So go ahead, Gordon, if you'd like to take it from here.
Right. Can we unmute Abdullah as well, Meredith? Do you know how to do that? Can you do that from there, or does Abdullah have to do it himself? Oh, you're unmuted. Well done, Abdullah. Thank you. Excellent. So just a bit of background. I'm going to ask Abdullah some questions about how he learned to drive in a minute and how he passed his test. Abdullah was our first family. We are Karis refugees, and Abdullah arrived in July 20, got to get the timing right now, 2017, I think, way back in 2017. And so they were our first family. And obviously they've now been 3 years, and they are very independent and very settled here. And Abdullah now has a full-time job. He's had a full-time job for about a year. And actually he's still working. He's a key worker in the current circumstances. So he's been working full-time, and he's actually had to use his car to be able to get to work. So he had to learn to drive before he could even get a job. So I'm going to, Abdullah has three children, and they are at school and still at school at the same school. But I'm going to ask Abdullah about half a dozen questions about how he learned to drive and why he learned to drive, and then Abdullah will answer them. Okay, Abdullah, can you just say hello so we can check your microphone's working okay?
Hello, everybody.
Okay. Excellent, perfect. So Abdullah, why did you sort of decide to get a driving license, and why was it important for you to drive?
Important to drive in UK because I need go in my work for car, and everything you use the car in the home for everything my home, because the car is still very important in life.
Absolutely. And just a reminder to everybody that we live Abdullah lives in Taunton in Somerset, so it's a I would call it a provincial town in the UK, sort of national context. So it's a smallish town, but as soon as you get outside of the immediate town centre, you have to have a car because there aren't really any public transport links in Somerset that work very well. So a car is actually essential to be able to go beyond the 5 minute walk to the supermarket. So Abdullah, how long did you study before you took your theory test? How long did you study?
I studied 3 months.
3 months?
Yes.
And how long was that after you arrived in the country?
2 months, after 2 months.
So 2 months after.
After 2 months, I start drive in UK. But I get the license driver 9 months after I am in UK.
And what did you find most helpful to learn to pass your theory test? What did you use?
I use system. You have in this system all the question you have in. You can listen in English, and if you not understand in English, you click. You can translate this everything in listen in this question in Arabic.
Okay, so just to clarify what that is, a piece of software that takes all the 1,080 or 1,060 questions and will translates them into Arabic, but verbally. So you can click and then it will play the question.
You can, after a click, you can listen this whole question in Arabic.
Yeah. So, how did you use that? Did you listen to the Arabic first, or did you try with the English first, Abdullah?
I am trying English first because most of this question, I understand all the question, most of the question this in English. just some word new for driving, I can use Arabic.
And how many hours, you said you studied for 3 months plus, but how many hours a day were you trying to study?
I study 3 hours in the day.
Every day of the week or just some days?
No, every day, some.
Some days.
3 days, up 3 days, no.
And so did you learn every question, all 1,060 questions?
No, I all question now I keep in my brain.
Okay. What a you can do my next exams for me.
Yeah, no problem.
So how many times did you have to take your theory test?
I am first time going theory test and take mark 40. But you need 43 for bus. Next time I go in theory test, I take 47 plus 50.
Excellent.
Second time.
Excellent. And did you pass the hazard perception, the one you click with the space bar? Did you pass that the first time or second time?
First time.
First time. That, yes. That one easy because it's got no English in it. Yes. And then how long after you passed the theory did you take your practical test?
2 months.
2 months. And yes. Did you pass your practical test first time, second time or third time?
No, second time, because I am first time no lucky, because I go in practical test for some language different English. English, but I not understand what you say quickly.
Okay, yeah, I understand. So driving instructor give instruction quite quickly in English and Abdullah not quite understand.
Yes.
But never second mind, time. You passed second time.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
Second time, no any wrong in all paper practical test.
Excellent, excellent. And how did you, who gave you your practical lessons?
I go with the company in Taunton, Mr. Joe Baber. Green Go. You can help me, very help me for driving. I need, no, you give me for driving. I need understand the system, this country, because this system country different. Everything different from my country. I drive with you, but you all time you said me, Abdullah, this you must do this, you must do this, you must take single and you must hear for train station, for everything, the system.
Yes, no, absolutely. And just I'll add a footnote to that, that the we helped find the right driving instructor for Abdullah, but it was the driving instructor had a lot of experience with non-English speaking or people with whose English wasn't the first language. So not necessarily refugees, but a lot of other non-international people he had experience with, which was quite important. Abdullah, what advice would you give other refugees who would like to get a driving license? What would you tell them?
If you need anyone for a refugee, you get this driver license, you need work with yourself and study with yourself, because in this case, no anybody you can help. Maybe you give you advice, but you all time study. After you study enough, you can get this and pass every theory test.
Okay, I think we were very impressed with the amount of hours and just the perseverance that Abdullah showed to learn the questions. At the end of the day, with English being limited, there was very little substitute to just learning it to get through the theory test, even if it's 1,000 questions. So a lot of perseverance. I think you study quite late at night, Abdullah, yes?
Yes, I am before the theory test start, same in this time in Ramadan, I pass theory test, I stay after 8:30 in the evening till 8:30 in the morning, and after this go in the exam.
Okay, very good.
I, in this night, I do all question, 1,080 question.
The night before, very good. Very impressive. Yeah, absolutely. And how did Caris help you during this time? How did we help you?
Yeah, my Caris, you can look after me. You can help me, give me another system for driving license. I go in this system in my computer. This system you can through in the day two step. You can do in the day two step, all step maybe 50 question. After this 50 question, you give another 50 question. In the day you can take 100 question. Just in this two step in the day. This good because if you do this twice in the day, you can understand all 100 question. But you need maybe 10 days or 12 days you can through this system.
Okay, so that was basically doing practice tests, essentially, yeah. So that's... So I'll probably just add that actually in terms of what, well, I'll give an opportunity just in a second for anyone to ask Abdullah any questions that they want to have. So if you want to think of any questions, but just in terms of the what we did as Caris, I think the biggest thing was actually being an emotional and an encouragement to Abdullah to keep going and to do it. Essentially, only Abdullah could pass that theory test. Nobody else could do it for him. So, and once he put his mind to it, what we did was basically we helped him get that piece of software that he describes. But then it's just about encouraging him and supporting him through that journey. And then when he didn't pass the first time, it's encouraging him again to keep going. But he was very determined. He wanted to book the second theory test immediately after he failed the first one. But it is a long process. One of the questions you may want to know is how did he find the money to pay for the theory test and the driving lessons? I don't know whether you recall, but those that were in around in the early days of the community sponsorship program, there was a grant, a Goldman Sachs grant for Syrian refugees that was around in the first 2 years. Up to a maximum of £500. We put a claim in for that grant on behalf of Abdullah, and that covered, we got just under £500, and that covered his theory test, his, a whole, I think 10 or 12, I can't remember now, 10 or 12 driving lessons, and your practical test. I can't remember how many lessons did you have, Abdullah?
12 hours.
So 12 driving lessons, yes. So a block of 12 driving lessons. So we used that grant to do that. Unfortunately, it's not available anymore, but it was very, very useful to be able to do that. So any questions, what would people like to ask Abdullah? Or you can ask me, but...
There's some questions on the side here on the chat. I think you just answered a few of them. But so, for example, how were you able to pay for the driving lessons with the grant? I think I've heard of other groups who might live in a rural area where driving is really, really important, where they have just decided to budget for this as part of their support for the family and just to make that known to the family as well. So, I mean, it is up to you as a group as to how you plan to do this. But yeah, you could look for funding elsewhere. Like they did.
So can I pick up some of the questions that I can see on the right-hand side?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
And I may miss some of them at the end, so please, Meredith and others, direct me back to the questions so that we answer all of the questions. But I see, what was Abdullah's level of English when he arrived? Abdullah, how good was your English when you came here?
Very small.
Very small, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it was very little.
Yeah, it's very little.
And how did you, I'll ask a supplementary question to that. How did you learn your English?
I learned in English 1 year in the college. And Caris refugee, you can give me teacher at home. You give me a lesson, two lessons in the week, me and my wife. After this, I study 2 months out the college with another group. After this, I go in the work.
Okay. Abdullah, was it an automatic or a manual car you learnt driving?
I take my car in automatic car.
Automatic. And did you drive in Syria before you came to England?
Yes, I drive manual. But I take car automatic here because this here useful for me because I need understand everything for the system.
Yes.
If you anyone refugee Syrian, you can drive manual or automatic. But if you need advice, you can go and drive first automatic, because you can after little time you can understand everything for system, for traffic, for everything. After this, you can change car or you can go in manual car. You keep going for and eyes all everything for the street.
And Abdullah, did you have an international driving license when you arrived from Syria?
Yes, I drive international drive maybe 10 months before I get license driver UK.
So if you remember, Abdullah said he passed his UK driving license practical test just under a year after he arrived, and his just before his international driving license was about to run out. So
yes, before. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's a couple of questions around the software that Abdullah used. And I think Meredith, did Lisa send that software to you? Because it's rather a lot, large bit of software, because I think we can make it available, can't we?
Yeah, I think we were talking about that. I'll get in touch with Lisa when she's back from leave as well.
Okay.
And I can send that out to everybody. I can put it in one of those like WeTransfer files, because I think it is quite big.
I know it doesn't go by email. You normally have to carry it around on a flash drive, yeah.
But yeah, let's share that if we can, definitely.
Yes.
And when I send out the follow-up tomorrow, I can just say if you're interested in this software, just to email me, and then I can put you on like a list and remember to email you when we have it available.
Okay, yeah. And there was a question around the name of it, but I can't actually recall the name of it. Abdullah, can you remember the name of the software used? I can't.
Sorry?
Can you remember the name of the piece of software used? Did it have a name?
No.
No, we've got it on a... We'll send that out.
I bring this system in Flash for my friend you give me. Yes.
Yeah, I can't recall the name because we just had it on a flash drive. So we'll get it so that people can access it after the call.
You can do this for system transport. You can, all people, you can keep this system in yourself. I speak with you and Lisa for this.
Yes, I can't remember where we originally got it from. It's from another refugee, I think, originally. Shall I just go through the chat, Meredith?
Yeah, go ahead. Just to add to the software bit, I do know that the Glasgow Syrian Network has translated a lot of the questions as well, and I think they're available on YouTube. I'll find that and I'll also send that out in the follow-up, just because when you're studying, if you can hear it translated, if you can read it in your own language as well, that will help you to understand like what's being asked. But just to remember, for everybody to remember that the test must be taken in English.
Yeah. And there was a clarification question around the translation. So the software puts up the questions in English in front of you when you click on it, and you can you can, with a pair of headphones in, you can ask for the question to be read to you in Arabic. So that's how it works. Yeah. Going here, does a question down here, did Abdullah already have a car in that case? Interesting question. Abdullah, how did you get your first car and when did you get your first car?
I buy first car for my friend.
Yeah. When did you get your first car?
After 2 months, I am in UK. I am coming in July. After 2 months, 2017.
Yeah, so Abdullah got his car quite early on in his journey. Now I'm going to explain here. This caused us a big shock as our sponsoring, as a community sponsorship group, when Abdullah said he wanted a car, to go and get a car after 2 months. But it was all part of his wanting to learn to drive. So I helped him with the car in terms of looking over, but he sourced the car himself through his own friends and network, and he paid for the car himself. It was quite an old car. It's the sort of car, to be honest, you would probably just about buy your 17-year-old who was starting out. So it was definitely in the old banger category, but roadworthy. And so I said to Abdullah, this car will last you about a year or two. He used it to practice to learn to drive. And then he was going to take his test in it. But Abdullah, I think you took the test in the driving instructor's car, didn't you?
Yes, it's in my car.
Yes. Did you take the test in your car or in the driving instructor car?
No, in my car. In my car.
You took the test in your car. I couldn't remember. So, yes. And actually, that after a year, when it was due to go back through its MOT again, it needed some quite substantial repairs. And at this point, as a community sponsorship group, Abdullah wasn't in full-time work then, so we gave him a small loan to help keep the car on the road for the next year, which he paid back over 12 months. And then once he got into full-time work, he upgraded his car himself. And so now you're on your second car, aren't you, Abdullah?
Yes, second car.
Yeah. There's a question over what you do as your job, Abdullah. What do you do as your job?
I work in my job in Coast English Willow. Make basket and make everything for basket willow and coffin and everything for this.
Okay, so just to clarify, people didn't understand that. So he works for the a Somerset company, which is willow, grows willows, and then harvests the willows for either baskets or, at this point in time, sadly, a lot of willow coffins are made, which is why Abdullah is a key worker, because he has to keep that production going. So he works on the agriculture side. How do you use your car for work, Abdullah?
I go in my car in the work, because work far for me, 10 mil. Yes.
Okay.
I get this work. Caris refugee helped me for get this work. Gordon and Lisa helped me for this. I go with my teacher, David, for interview. First interview in the work. After this first interview in this work, first day, second day, you can send me email. Yes, you can go in this work. Caris helped me for find this work. No, not me, because I am not good for looking everything for internet, for job. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your garden.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just reading it. Did Abdullah have to apply for the international driving license by showing his Syrian driving license? So just to clarify, the international driving license comes with the refugee, brings that from Syria.
Yes.
Not given to you in the UK.
No, in Syria this.
Yeah, it comes from Syria. So, and it's a Syrian international driving license. And in the UK, they are allowed to drive on that for 1 year from the date of arrival.
Yes, you can drive for a Syrian license 1 year. Start this 1 year, first day coming in this in UK.
Just one other question which hasn't come up, but somebody might ask it. When Abdullah bought his first car, we helped him find insurance and so on for the car. Not all the insurance companies will insure somebody on an international driving license, because until he got his own driving license, he would have to be insured on his international one. So you have to shop around and make sure that the insurance company covers a driver on an international driving license. Can you clarify the test is in English, but you headphones, you hear in Arabic. Can I just be 100% clear? When Abdullah was practicing at home, the questions are in English and he can hear the Arabic on the software through his headphones. When you do the test, there is no Arabic voiceover. You have to be able to read English.
All English in the test.
Yeah. So you have to be able to read English. And there's another question about, do you have to be able to read English? Yes, you have to be able to read some English, even though you might not be able to understand what it all means, but you have to be able to read English so that you can then learn the answers, even if you're learning them by rote. You still got to learn the answers. So you have to be able to read English. So Abdullah, here's an interesting question. What was the biggest challenge to you when you started driving? What did you find most difficult when you started driving here?
First one, the steering in the right.
Okay.
Yes. Second one, in my where I am live in Taunton, many traffic light, many traffic light. Another thing, you have many traffic for British people. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Another question. Was the insurance cost for Abdullah's first car expensive? Abdullah, can you remember how much your first insurance was?
Yes, 67.
£67 a month.
In the month, yes.
Yeah,
I do.
For this car. So that's about £800 for the year. And what was your first car?
Ford Focus.
A Ford Focus. Can you remember how old it was?
This car, 2001.
2001. So yeah.
Very old car.
About nearly a 20-year-old Ford Focus.
Yes, 20 years.
Yeah. So £800 a year. It's very similar to what a young person's insurance cost. Maybe here in the UK, maybe not quite as expensive as for a 17-year-old. So the insurance isn't cheap.
Yes.
So Abdullah, there's a question for you. When you were learning, because you were driving on a international driving license,
yes,
did you need another driver in the car with you?
No.
So you're totally entitled to drive on your own on that international driving license. Yes. So he practiced in his own car on that international driving license. I know he took it very steadily at the start. Now, here's a question that I don't think has been asked, but one that some people might think about. What did we as a community sponsorship group decide to teach and help Abdullah to learn to drive? We actually thought about that, and we decided not to accompany Abdullah in the car and teach him to drive. We decided that that would the potential life would put our volunteers into too difficult a position. So even though Abdullah bought his own car, drove legally as insured and under his international driving license, we gave him advice and encouragement. And when he asked questions, we answered them about what things meant. But we did not sit in the car with him and teach him to drive. And that's why we were very pleased when we were able to get him a block of 12 lessons with a professional instructor. And that would be our recommendation to anybody, to make sure that they had a professional instructor who taught them properly how to drive in this country. I might have missed some questions, so...
I have a question, can I ask? I think I've heard that when you're taking the test, you can listen to the questions, but in English. So if you're, like, if you have sight problems or something, you can listen to them in English. Is that something that you know about, Gordon?
I've heard the same thing. I think if you're, yes, if you're, because if you're... I think if you're sort of slightly dyslexic or something, I don't know, but there is a rule that allows you to have a voiceover in English. Abdullah, did you use a voiceover in English?
Sorry?
Did you, when you took your theory test, did you listen to the questions in English? No, just read them.
In the theory test?
Yes.
In the theory test, yes. I listen and reading.
Okay, you did have a voiceover. Okay.
Yes. This useful because maybe you reading any word wrong. You can, if you listen, you can exactly what this word, you know.
Okay, thank you for that, Mervit. That's a useful clarification. So you can, yes. So that's probably a good recommendation.
Yeah.
I think it's nice because it's just another way to understand, you know, like if you, like Abdullah was saying, if you read one word incorrectly, maybe you've listened to it correctly. But along with the question about needing to know how to read and write, or know how to read, you would still need to be able to select the different answers.
Yes.
So, to an extent, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, Gordon, please?
Yes, Jane.
I just wonder whether Abdullah felt that his English improved from learning, from having this intensive theory test practice.
Abdullah, I'll ask him. Yeah, Abdullah, did learning the theory test every evening, did that help improve your English? Did you learn some new words in English?
Yes, I useful for this word for English, for theory test, many word I keep in my brain because this word new and useful, this word for you talking. You can take another word because maybe example, overtaking. I don't know overtaking if you, before I am study in theory test. Many word.
Okay, so he really improved his vocabulary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's a question there. Can you get a highway code in refugees' language easily? I don't know. Abdullah, you didn't have a highway code in Arabic, did you?
Sorry, high code?
Highway code. I think the answer is no. I know the answer is no to this question. There isn't a highway code in Arabic.
You might be able to buy one.
Yeah, I don't know whether you can. I've not looked for one actually now. There might be one available now there are more Arabic speakers here. I don't know.
Yeah, I can find, there's a few different links online if you look for it, but I'll include that in my follow-up as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's another question here, Meredith, that I don't know the answer to, but the voice over in English in the test, is it, do you have to request it or is it available? I don't know whether that one you might need to.
Yeah. So when I have heard about this ability to kind of have the the questions read to you. I have heard that you do need to sign up for that ahead of time. So when you book your test, you'll need to ask for it at that point. You can't just show up and have it at that point. So it takes a little bit of planning.
Okay, excellent. Have I missed any questions?
I think you've gotten everything. You've really gone through them well. Let's see. Has anybody else here helped the family that they support to gain a driving license that they'd like to share?
Sorry.
That's all right. I think, yeah, wonderful. So these are all really good questions. And I think this is really, I think the point of this is that a lot of self-determination and really trying and putting work into it like you did, Abdullah, is how you can pass this test. You have to really want it. You have to put the time in. And it's about studying and learning different words that you normally wouldn't be using. So like in our required training, we often talk about, we have an example where we talk about helping somebody to pass the driving test just like this. And one of the examples that we use is that on the theory test, they use vocabulary that you probably wouldn't see anywhere else. Like one of the scenarios is, it's a blustery day. How do you adjust your driving? Nobody uses the word blustery. You say windy, and that would be the word that you would learn in an ESOL class, for example. So if that word shows up on the theory test, you might get quite confused as well. So by studying the English version of the highway code and doing practice tests, you can see these different words. And also like the Arabic translation for hard shoulder would come out really strange, I think, if you think about that. So there's all these little things and all this informal ESOL that you can help the family to kind of learn in order to get through that.
I think one of the things that we noticed was of the number of refugees in Taunton, there are a number of local authority settled refugees here, as well as our community group sponsorship families. And we noticed that once one of the refugees learnt to drive, it got quite competitive amongst them all, trying to keep up and learning to drive. And actually, that was quite a good thing, even to the extent that some of them took up to 9 times to pass their theory test, but pass their theory test they did in the end. So I really can't underestimate the value of determination and perseverance. And unfortunately, there's no shortcut, I don't think, to getting it passed through the theory test.
Exactly. And it's not limited to people with English as a second or third language. There's a lot of British people who do not pass these tests the first time or the second time or even the third time.
Yeah.
Great. I think Catherine has a question. Go ahead.
Hi, Abdullah. I think you did brilliantly to pass your test so quickly. But I was surprised to hear that although you drove a manual car in Syria, you chose to drive an automatic here. And many of the local Syrians have also only taken their automatic driving test. And I worry that that's a bit short-sighted in that it means that the car will tend to be more expensive. And also you might limit yourself if you want a driving job, that if it's a works car, they will tend not to be automatic. Do you think that, would you still recommend taking the automatic test?
Abdullah, can I rephrase the question for Abdullah, Catherine?
Yes.
Yeah. Abdullah, if would you recommend that people take the automatic test first before a manual test? And will you go on to take the manual test at some point?
Gordon, for the test, No different for work, for manual or automatic. You have two things. Automatic car, good for you, can you keep eyes in the street, first one. Another thing, in manual test, if you go in this in the test for theory test, after theory test, in the practical test, you need listen carefully for the person next to you for ask. Maybe you go straight ahead, or you go left, or you go right. If you something wrong for this, for in practical test, the best automatic car, because you no need looking everything, just you listen for this person. After this, take this practical test in automatic, maybe 1 year, 2 years, you can good English, very, very good. You go another test for manual car. You, if you any person, you ask you any question in the car, or you give you go in the left or in the right in the in this test, this easy. This easy for anyone.
So really you're saying that it's just too much to learn in the early days.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand now. Thank you.
No problem. Okay.
Very good.
Great. I find the same thing, Abdullah. I'm from America, where we drive on the same side as Syria. And I can drive a manual, but if you try to think about being on the other side and doing this with your left hand instead of your right hand, it's too hard. It's too hard. But maybe someday. I'm with you. I'm with you. Great. Do we have any other questions? And if no more questions about driving, if you have any questions at all about community sponsorship, your application, anything like that. All right. We've got another little comment on the side, though, that I'll read out, though. Right, okay, so Philip has pointed out that if you don't know the UK highway code when you first arrive and you start driving, that could potentially be dangerous, because there are other rules that you might not know when you first start driving, even though you can. I'll give just a quick example. My dad came to the UK from California, where you can turn right on red. So that'd be like turning left on a red light here. And he was doing that all over the UK in a rented car. Because he didn't know that it was different, because he's not spent that much time driving outside of California. So yeah, I think this could be something like, if the family that you support does come, they have the ability to drive a car immediately. If you can get the highway code in Arabic, which I think I have seen online, but it costs a few pounds. That could be something to kind of gift them. But I think in terms of studying for the test, like you guys were all saying, knowing it in English is going to be so important because of all this different vocabulary. I think it could be kind of a layered experience where you first learn it in Arabic, then you look at it in English. It's however it's going to work best for everybody. Wonderful. Well, let's see. Dominica, did you have a question? Or are you just doing that with your hand? You're muted. No question, okay. Sorry, everybody. All right, great. Well, I think we're at 6:20 here. We've filled a good 50 minutes of talking about driving licenses, which somehow has ended up being extremely interesting, which who knew that could happen? But I think this is something that's going to be really relevant for a lot of community sponsorship groups, just because driving licenses mean freedom for a lot of people. It means independence, and it brings other employment opportunities like it has for Abdullah, where now he can drive to work, right? So it could be something that you will end up working into your support plan. But if you have not yet welcomed a family, this is just something that you'll kind of find out as you go. You don't know if the family would like to drive yet. When they arrive, you'll talk this through with them as you set goals. And just, I think managing expectations and setting goals is really key in this. So people know that it's not automatically, I mean, that the rules are different. The rules are a bit stricter, for example, and that it does cost money and it takes time and it will take a lot of determination. But I think as we've seen, it's completely possible and it can help somebody to get to kind of that next level and gain employment as well. But yeah,
one comment that I've thought about, it didn't relate to Abdullah, it relates to another refugee family I know, but the international driving license that they have is a precious because they need to be able to show it to demonstrate they can drive. If they lose it, they have to get it back from Syria, which is almost impossible. So you can't replace it in this country. And actually, we do know of a family who lost theirs, and sadly, that set them back in the journey of trying to learn to drive. So if they do come with one, they've got to guard it and look after it. Yes, because getting it, if they lose it, it's pretty difficult, if nigh on impossible to replace.
Okay, great. We've got one more question came in for Abdullah, if you want to ask it, Gordon.
Well, which one's that? The one about, did you just drive straight away on main road? Okay, or find a quiet place to practice. So, Abdullah, when you first bought your car and you drove, did you find a quiet place to practice, or did you go straight out and drive on the busiest roundabout in Taunton?
No, I am first drive in UK in Taunton. All time I keep in Taunton, no go outside, and I choose the quiet road because you need everything. And another thing, I long in YouTube, I see some video for driving, looking how you work and how you can use the traffic and everything. I looking for many video for driving license in UK, and keep inside Taunton, no go outside maybe after 4 or 5 months, because this system different for me. Yes, not easy.
So shwaya shwaya, as they say in
Arabic. Yeah, shwaya shwaya. Good, Gordon.
Slowly, slowly.
Yeah. Slowly, slowly.
Perfect. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much, Abdullah, for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I think it's been really helpful for a lot of people who can now kind of help the families that they support to do the same thing. But yeah,
I hope.
It's amazing. Great. Cool. And thanks so much, Gordon, as well.
For helping us.
But yeah, I'll be sending out... Thanks, guys. I'll send out the follow-up tomorrow morning with some links. I'll do a little bit more research on highway code stuff, and we'll figure out that software as well. But great. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you.
Marley. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abdullah.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.